Entrepreneurs, small business owners, professionals who seek excellence, bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show. Here's Marty Wolf.
We still got a long way to go. Yes, we all got a long way to go.
Welcome to the Business Builder Show. I'm Marty Wolf, and along with my sidekick, Carrie Carney, we are your hosts for the Business Builder Show. Hi, Carrie.
Hello, Marty.
And our producer, the exciting Tom Jenkins, is also in the studio with us today. Hi, Tom.
Hello, Marty.
Another member of our team, Dr. Tony Massari, will be offering his comments later in the show. A reminder, show is for entrepreneurs, small business people, and professionals who seek excellence. And we offer tips to help you build your business on several topics that are important to you, like technology, innovation, finance, leadership, personal development, and sales and marketing. Today, we will be talking about how to get good at your craft and how important a coach is to help you do that. And hopefully, well, not hopefully, we are absolutely going to give you some tips to help you get there. Last week, Carrie and Tom, we introduced a book called The Talent Code, and I think we talked about So Good They Can't Ignore You, but we're going to go a little deeper into two books that are going to be a main part of our discussion. I'll mention them again. Talent Code by Daniel Coyle is one, and the other title is So Good They Can't Ignore You by Cal Newport. We'll also be talking about two articles from performance consultant James Clear. C-L-E-A-R, James Clear. I just connected with James Clear just a couple of months ago. I really find his work really interesting and fascinating. So we're going to talk about some posts that he did that I think really connect to our discussion about talent and being so good they can't ignore you. So, Carrie, if you're ready to go, let's start with an article from James Clear. And I would suggest that you do log on and check him out. And I want to make sure to kind of set this up so it's clear, Carrie. James Clear describes himself as an entrepreneur, weightlifter, and travel photographer in 20 countries. So this gentleman is definitely into health and performance. His topic that we're going to talk about today is three time management tips that will improve your health and productivity. Starts it off by saying that time management can be difficult. What is urgent in your life and what is important to your life often are very different things.
How true.
We often see that. Well, I experienced that. We all experienced that. And we'll get into the difference between important versus urgent in a second here. But important versus urgent, especially with your health, really is, it's kind of, the focus is going to be about health, but you can certainly relate it to your general business and to your general life. But regarding your health, where important issues almost never seem urgent, even when maybe your life is in the balance, Carrie. Now, I like the examples that he uses in terms of some productivity tips or urgent versus important. The first thing he says is, no, going to the gym today isn't urgent, but it is important for your long-term health. No, you won't die from stress today, but if you don't get it figured out soon, you might. Next one. No, eating real, unprocessed foods isn't required for you to stay alive right now, but it will reduce your risk of cancer and disease. Are you starting to see the difference between urgent and important? Urgent might be, we got to eat right now, so we're going to grab that particular bad food.
It sounds to me like he's making all of the important things important so they don't become urgent.
Wow. Great clarity there, man. That's exactly right. That's exactly. Well, what are we going to fill the rest of this time with? Because you just summed it all
Sorry.
Up.
Sorry.
There it is.
You know, say that again so we can make sure the lesson is clear. Say that again.
It sounds to me like he's labeling the important things as important so they don't become urgent.
That is exactly accurate. However, since we have some time to fill here.
So how was your day, Marty?
We need to stay in some suggestions that he has. And he says, well, what can we do in terms of time management tips? He says, first one, eliminate half work at all costs.
What's he mean by half work?
Well, something that I am completely guilty of.
I think we all are.
Easily distracted, right? Mm-hmm. We with the shiny new object, something's going on. Something is happening when we should be working a project. And here's some examples, he says, of half work, what he calls half work. You start reading a report, but stop randomly to check your phone for no reason or to open up Facebook or Twitter. You should be writing the report. But let me check Facebook. Okay? Another point. You try out a new workout routine. 2 days later, you read about another new fitness program and try a little bit of that. You make very little progress in either of them, but you start something else. Another great point. Your mind wanders to your email inbox while you're on the phone with someone. So here's the thought. If you're distracted, you're probably spending twice as much time to get half the work done. Does that make sense, gentlemen? I mean,
yes.
You're on the project. You should be focused on the project, and you're getting distracted all the time. Now, what he suggests is, he says, take a deep dive. Take hours and separate hours of time. And there's a lot of scientists who say work in 30 to 60 focused minutes and then take a break. So get rid of that half work. Get focused. Number 2 point from James Clear. Do the most important thing first. Now, maybe I learned this, Carrie. I don't know. But I definitely do the first thing first. I'm an early riser. I get up early in the morning. And I get the important thing, sometimes the hardest thing, out of the way. And when you do that, guess what happens? You definitely got something important done today. Right, Tom? If you bang that first thing out and got it done.
It's a great way to start the day, too.
Great way to start the day.
And it sets a momentum for you.
Yep. And that's a great thought process. Again, I don't know if it came naturally, if I learned it, but I get up early, and so do you, Tom. So
yeah.
You got to get the important things done. Point number 3 in time management tips from James Clear. Reduce the scope, but stick to the schedule. Reduce the scope, but stick to the schedule. Here's his example. So you decide. You put in your goal. You put in your schedule to write. You're going to run 3 miles today at 3 o'clock. Okay. Well, your day just falls apart. Along comes 3 o'clock, and you go, boy, maybe I'll just bag that 3-mile run. No. Don't do that. Here's what he means when he says reduce the scope, but stick to the schedule. At 3 o'clock, you may not have time to do the 3 miles. But can you do some exercises? Can you do some jumping jacks? Can you do some stretches? Can you do something that is effective? The answer is yes. And this applies, you know, whether you're working on, 3 o'clock, you're supposed to make 5 prospect calls. You didn't get to that, make 2.
Yeah.
If you didn't get to, you know, that whole report, then maybe work on the part of it. So reduce the scope, but stick to the schedule.
I'd like to question all the salespeople out there. How many times have you had an effective call when you had to talk yourself out of getting out of the car?
Right.
And you did it, and then you reap the benefits.
First segment's already flown by. We need to take a break, and we will be taking a break. You are listening to the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf, and we will be right back.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show. Carrie and Tom, last week on the show, we introduced a book by gentleman by the name of Daniel Coyle, and the book was titled The Talent Code: Greatness Isn't Born, It's Grown, and he talks about here's how. Now, for our listeners, I'm sure they're already recalling, Carrie, the young lady's name that we talked about, but let's help them out. Her name was?
Clarissa.
And what we talked about was that Clarissa had completed what they described as a week's worth of practice in 6 minutes. Let's remind everybody what she did. Let's first of all make sure what we're calling it. We're calling it deep practice. And what she did, let me back up. There are psychologists who are studying her, how she was learning the clarinet. Right, Carrie?
Right.
And so they filmed her on an average day. And again, she was an average young lady on this musical instrument. No gifted talents, nothing special. And what they had recorded was her practicing something. And what did she do? She started. She stopped. She went back to the beginning. It was really kind of painful, probably, to watch it, wasn't it?
Yeah, they refer to it as an error-focused process. She might play a bridge or six or eight notes, and then she hits the clunker. She rewinds it. She thinks quickly and then goes by that bad note, plays 10 notes in a row, 12 right. notes in a row, and then has another clunker, but really focused in the zone, really, really getting those errors out of the way, failing fast.
She didn't ignore the mistakes. She recognized the mistake and she said, okay, here's a mistake. Let me go back to the beginning. Let me try that again. She got better and faster over time. And what the psychologist said is that this is profound, deep practice. This is how the real professionals practice. And she really, really got good at it. So here's, this show is for entrepreneurs and small business owners and professionals who seek excellence. Can this thought process, Carrie and Tom, or let's talk about, can this apply to our work lives and in our businesses? In what we do, if the first time you put up a website or the first time you learn a new product pitch, if I'll use those for that phrase, first time you're going to network, does this just come naturally?
No. First time you frame a door out, first time you bend steel, if you're in the HVAC business, you know, the first time you do anything, you're going to get to the point where you've uncovered an error.
And the thought process is, especially when you're doing kind of brainiac work, I'll call it, it certainly has to do with, a plumber just doesn't all of a sudden know what to do.
No.
Tom isn't magic on this control board like he is. I know he's humble and he's saying, I don't talk about me, but he's very good at editing. Obviously, he's a great production guy. Just didn't walk in this morning. Well, he had some incentive today, too, because he gave him donuts. And so he's exceptionally good
Hot
today.
Hot donuts now.
Hot
donuts,
yes. So
can't
we
the name.
Even fed him. Right. But we need to think about this lesson, this talent. How do you get there? How do you develop your craft? And that is, we keep using the phrase,
deep practice.
Deep practice, failing fast, starting a business, going down the road and saying, oops, well, this didn't work. Let me go back to the beginning. Let me rethink this. Let me get better at this. Is that what this is about? Whether
yeah.
it's playing the piano or becoming a plumber or becoming, for that matter, a CEO of a company. Peyton Manning, a great quarterback. Tom Brady. They didn't just walk out on the field and start doing this, right?
No, no.
So why would we think anything differently in business? Or if you want to become a banker, if you want to become a songwriter, it just doesn't happen. Our good friend, Jackie Woodbridge,
correct.
Just didn't sit at the piano and start writing great songs, correct?
No, no. It took decades and decades and decades
yes.
to get to that point.
Over and over and over again. Okay. So our individual efforts we're talking about here, how important that is to understand intense practice, going back, repeating, 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 getting better. Now, let's talk about the importance of coaching. And Daniel Coyle, in his book, The Talent Code, does talk about coaching. It's a fascinating book. I highly recommend it. He talks about the importance of coaching. And he has several really neat stories about how tennis players come out of certain parts of the world, other countries, and how these tennis players, these baseball players, he talks primarily about athletes and, mm-hmm. and musicians, but they come out from these places of deep practice, but having exceptional coaches. Doesn't this make sense, Carrie?
Yeah, and when I read this, Marty, I thought of I love music, a blues player, Buddy Guy, and I saw him months ago, and he brought out a 14-year-old boy, Quentin Sullivan,
mm-hmm.
who was just, my jaw was on the floor when mm-hmm. I saw this young mm-hmm. kid playing the blues.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of the relationship of Buddy as his coach
right.
to Quentin
right.
to show him particulars about the business. He didn't really show him how to bend strings or play notes. He certainly guided him in that way, but the coaching was a really, really integral part that Quentin Sullivan was at the Eric Clapton's Guitar Crossroads this year in Madison Square Gardens. 14 yep. years old, playing yep. with the likes of Jeff Beck, Eric Clapton, on and on and on. Incredible.
Obviously a gifted young man. However, without that coaching, may or may not have achieved the level where he's at, may or may not. But let's introduce someone that a lot of our audience will recognize, a gentleman by the name of Harvey McKay. Swim with the sharks without
sure.
being eaten alive. Let's not go into our funny story about Harvey McKay, but we have a funny story. If we're offline sometime, we'll tell you about it. Harvey McKay, in all his books, mentions that he has several coaches.
Yes.
A golf coach, a speaking coach, a writing coach. Now, he's a best-selling author. You look to anybody. You look to Bill Gates. You look to Stephen Jobs. You look to anybody who's really achieved excellence, and they will all point to either college professors or business people who helped them succeed.
And continue to be coached.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They never stop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They never stop. I mean, it's easy to see in athletes, but business people, we had Marty Grunder on the show. Marty Grunder, well, you go to Marty Grunder's website, you're going to see he mentions people that he's worked with, how he goes to classes, how he is always with someone who is helping him. He mentions he likes listening to the show because it keeps him involved. Remember that comment?
Yeah.
He says, I love being on the show. I love talking to you guys because of the value that you bring. Now, Malcolm Gladwell is another famous dude, Carrie, and
yeah.
I think it was him that made this idea of it takes 10,000 hours of practice to become a master at your craft. That's kind of a universally accepted premise that it takes 10,000 hours to really, really get good at what you do. A lot of people are talking about the fact that you probably can speed that up with a great coach. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, because they're going to get you focused even deeper in the zone.
That's the real point. Perfect practice is what's really important. Deep practice, focused practice, and a coach can help keep you there. If you're by yourself and you're repeating the same thing, you don't know if you're really doing it well or not unless you have a coach who's really looking at you and saying, hey, Tom, try this. Change this sound level. Do this, do that. That helps you get there. You can get there on your own. It may take more than 10,000 hours with a coach. Makes a big difference, right?
And if you think of athletics, swinging a baseball bat happens in the blink of an eye. A great coach is going to break that down into so many moving parts, your hips, your hands, your elbows, your shoulders, that a great coach is going to find where your error is and help you correct it.
We're talking about The Talent Code by Daniel Coyle. Now we're going to turn our attention, Carrie, to another book by a gentleman by the name of Cal Newport. And his book is So Good, They Can't Ignore You. Subtitle is Why Skills Trump Passion in the Quest for Work You Love. This got me thinking. I want to share this with you. I think it's so important. We will be right back, and that's what we'll be talking about.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Informing, educating, and encouraging. The Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builders Show. We left off when we were talking about The Talent Code by Daniel Coyle, and we're talking about deep practice, and we're talking about the importance of coaching. We now want to talk about a book titled So Good, They Can't Ignore You. The subtitle, Why Skills Trump Passion in the Quest for Work You Love.
Who wrote that, Marty?
Oh, a setup.
Setup.
Cal Newport. Fascinating book. I really wanted to share this information with the entrepreneurs and small business owners. Now, Mr. Newport turns what he calls the passion hypothesis on its ear. Now, what is, other than being hard to say, what is the passion hypothesis? It claims that the key to occupational happiness is to find out what you're passionate about and then find a job that matches this passion. So,
philosophically, a great, great idea. Practical.
And we have heard it over and over and over again. That's why let's have a great conversation about this. He says, the passion hypothesis says find out what you're passionate about and then find a job that matches this passion. He says this is all wrong. And potentially,
thank goodness.
thank goodness, Tom. You're right.
When you brought this up, I don't know how many years ago on this show, and a lot of your authors and a lot of the business professionals that you've interviewed, they're saying all of this. I sit at home and I go, what am I passionate
What's
about?
What's my passion?
And I can't think of a darn thing.
You know, but that's the point, and this is the point that he's making. I felt this way. We've all felt this way. Like, oh, we're reading about and everybody's talking about we should find our passion and go do that and we'll be happy and we'll live happily ever after. Well, I'm sitting there thinking, what? You know, what's this all about? And he makes a strong case that this can actually be dangerous. And he talks about several different examples. It's really a well-written book. Cal Newport is the author. And there's so many examples. You talk about a banker, Carrie, that, you know, was unhappy being a banker and decided he went to a workshop, whatever he did. All of a sudden, he wanted to find peace as a monk. So off he went, whatever, it wasn't that easy, but off he went to become a monk, spent 2 or 3 years, whatever, as a monk, and then woke up one morning and said, what the heck am I doing here? Right?
Right.
I mean, that's it. And so he thought that was his passion. Well, he said, no, this isn't really my passion. I thought it was, but, and did he prepare to be a monk? No, he just said, this is my passion. So there's many, many examples. And there's so much is written about passion. And again, to put it in different terms, some of us would just, all of a sudden, something hits us. We read something, we listen to something, and we just drop everything. We have a good career going, or we're learning, and we just drop everything. And we think we're going to find happiness by pursuing that passion. And as all of us are saying, this is common thing. A lot of people say, follow your passion, right? Don't we hear that all the time? Follow your passion.
As parents, you try to instill that in your kids, but you almost know you're telling a white lie to them.
Yeah.
Because the world will not wait for you to find your passion.
Do you know who Derek Sivers is? That's Sivers. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. Derek kind of became famous. He had a company called CD Baby. And he was a typical teenager, bouncing around, kind of doing silly stuff. And just, yeah, he had a guitar and he was playing. All of a sudden, he said, you know what? I'm going to start making CDs for people who want to have access to this music. And the next thing you know, 2 years later, failing, trying, and he had this big company. What Derek does now is he's traveled all over Asia. Now, he's still connected to the music business, but he's written books now about traveling in Asia. Now, what the heck? How do you go from a passion of getting, you know, sharing CDs to writing books about how to do business in Asia? Well, he has another point about following your passion that's in this book. It's just, you also, and Derek makes this point strong in the book, it's okay to have this passion and mission stuff, but is somebody going to pay you for it?
Sell the first one.
Yeah. Tom, is somebody going to pay you for this passion to be a monk, to do something crazy? Is it all related? So Cal Newport takes a different approach to finding a career and business that you really love. And the title of the book is Be So Good They Can't Ignore You. Now, some people may recognize that phrase from somebody else pretty famous, Steve Martin.
Yes, the comedian, writer, banjo player extraordinaire, and movie star.
So Steve Martin, at the age of 40, decided to go on stage and become a world-renowned stand-up comedian. Is that what he did?
No. He started way before that.
And when interviewed...
Deep practice.
When interviewed, Steve Martin came up with the line, and he says, and this is taken... Cal stole it. Be so good they can't ignore you. And the lessons are that you've certainly can be passionate about something, but you know what really it takes is developing, and we've said these words, developing a craft. Getting really good at something. And what this is, he talks about is focus on doing the work right, not the right work. I get that?
Yep.
Focus on doing whatever you're doing, focus on doing it right. If you're a plumber, if you're a vice president of sales, if you're a music executive, no matter what you're doing, focus on what you're doing right. And Cal has several rules that he talks about. Rule number one is don't follow your passion, and we're certainly driving that home, and we've talked about it. Rule number two is be so good they can't ignore you. Now, what does this mean?
Become a craftsman.
If you be so
good. Whatever it is you do.
No matter what it is that you do, become so good. Carrie, you mentioned Colonel Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about practice, practice, practice.
Fail fast. Keep going.
Sales call after sales call after sales call until whatever age. I think it was 66. Hit it, but be so good. That chicken is so good, you can't ignore it.
Yep.
We love it, right? Rule number three from Cal Newport. Turn down a promotion. Make sure that this promotion, if when you're considering it, is it in your strength zone? Is it something that you spent years on developing and crafting? Also decide if is this what you really want? Like a lot of people say, well, I really want autonomy. Well, if you take on more responsibility in your company, you won't have autonomy. They're not going to let you go at 3 o'clock to do some creative thing, right? And then rule number four is think small, act big. Place small bets. Don't bet the farm like the passion hypothesis might suggest. Don't do that. Get really good. If you want to be the best tomato grower in California, you've got to learn all these different things. You get there by years of study and practice, and sometimes false starts. Become really great at what you do. That's how you will find your passion. That's how you will find your mission in life. Simply be so good that people can't ignore you. A book by Cal Newport. We will be right back. You're listening to the Business Builders Show.
Presenting the thought leaders of today. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Tom, let's go to our commentary by Dr. Tony Massari.
Hi, I'm Tony Massari with a thought about perspective. Listening to Marty's discussion with Carrie and Tom, I had a sentimental moment. It caused me to think about some of the most important transitional moments in my life and some of the people who made a big difference in my life. The words coach and practice evoke memories of a high school teacher who told a student in her class, when I assign 5 pages, you will do 10. To rephrase the words of Pat Conroy, that was good coaching and great teaching. The hidden lesson, be willing to work longer and do more than is expected. One of the leaders I most admire, Professor George Parks, the renowned director of the University of Massachusetts Minuteman Marching Band, had a very interesting take on the maxim, practice makes perfect. According to George Parks, perfect practice makes perfect. You cannot do it without a coach or a mentor. The reference to the passion hypothesis reminded me of a thought shared by Jack Kerouac. My fault, my failure, is not in my passions, but in my lack of control of them. Kerouac's point, we must master our passions, not be led around by them. The suggestion that we focus on doing the work right brought back a very special moment from the 2013 Medal of Honor Convention, when Clarence Sasser, a celebrated recipient, looked a group of high school students in the eye and said, I did my job, because it was my job. Then he added these profound words, make good choices that only you are responsible for. Words of wisdom from a classic face of America. For Marty Wolf and the Business Builder Show, I'm Tony Massari with America at its best.
Thanks, Tony, for another great commentary. Carrie, we're going to continue our discussion from information from a gentleman by the name of James Clear. And I recommend his website, which is jamesclear.com. And even the first article we looked at, I thought was a little challenging, Carrie, out of our comfort zone a little bit, and challenging our thoughts, as the other segments challenge our thoughts of passion. So we're really challenging ourselves and the folks that listen to us. Now, this one from James Clear is titled, Forget Setting Goals. Focus on this instead. Did I get your attention? Because everybody says, set goals.
Write them down.
You write them down. Work them, right? So James Clear says, forget setting goals. Focus on this instead. Okay. Hopefully I have everybody's attention. He says, we all have things that we want to achieve in our lives. Getting into better shape, building a successful business, raising a wonderful family, writing a best-selling book, having a nationally syndicated radio show. Oh, who has that goal? Okay, writing and winning a championship, etc. So we all have goals. And for most of us, we have been trained and taught to say, okay, set a specific goal with a time frame on it. But once again, James says, but wait, it's almost like the commercial here, but wait, there's more to this. What he's suggesting is that when it comes time to actually get things done or getting things done, there's a difference between goals and systems. This is where the meat is of this discussion. There's a difference between goals and systems. Here's some examples to put it in context. If you're a coach, your goal is to win a championship. Your system is what your team does at practice every day. If you're a writer, your goal is to write a book. Your system is the writing schedule that you follow each week. If you're an entrepreneur, your goal is to build a $1 million business. Your system is your sales and marketing process. Tom and Carrie, does this make a little sense? I like it.
It's the steps you take to reach the goal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Little steps.
Gotcha.
And we talk about little bets, like moving forward in steps. So think of this question. Powerful question. He asks, if you completely ignored your goals and focused only on your system, would you still get results?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely. So what he's talking about here is focusing on your systems instead of just the goal. So here's some thoughts he has. And he says this, which is, again, is kind of challenging. Goals reduce your current happiness. Now, why is that?
Well, he goes on to say, let's say you're on a diet and you're not hitting that specific goal that you wanted to hit. Most people just say, the heck with the diet.
Yep.
His point is, get healthy, lose weight. Don't put the pressure on yourself to hit a certain number. Just keep the system of losing weight in place.
And don't feel so bad about yourself because you didn't hit that goal this week,
and
right?
I tell you, we humans are the best to pick up the baseball bat and beat ourselves with it.
That's correct. Uh-huh. And he's saying that's why goals can reduce your happiness. Makes sense to me. It does. It makes sense to me. He also says, when you focus on the practice instead of the performance, you can enjoy the present moment and improve at the same time. Practice. Did we talk about deep practice earlier?
Yeah, in the talent code with Clarissa.
Yeah. So this really connects well. Deep practice with Clarissa on the clarinet, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Another thought that he says. Again, what's the title of this? Forget setting goals. Focus on this instead. Goals are strangely at odds with long-term progress. This is almost a heresy for a lot of people. Goals are strangely at odds with long-term progress. I think the words long-term is important. Why is that? Let's go back to the weight analogy, Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to hit a certain weight and you go on a diet and it doesn't work for the first 2 weeks, you didn't lose those 5 pounds, what do you do? You tend to what?
just give up.
You give up, or you try a new program. You go back and forth, trying to do something. Your goal is to lose 10 pounds, and you can't get there. You beat yourself up, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You say, okay, instead of really thinking about your system. Systems-based thinking is never about hitting a particular number. It's about sticking to the process and not missing the things that you should do. I like the way this is connecting. Is this making sense, guys? I like this. Another point he makes, jamesclear.com. Check him out. Goals suggest that you can control things that you have no control over. Let's see here. Raise your hand if you can predict the future. I don't see any hands raised.
If that was the case, I'd have the Powerball numbers right now.
Yes.
And
we would be
goal.
On vacation.
Yes.
I'd come back to do this show because I love it. And hopefully you'd be with me and Carrie would be with me. But we'd be on vacation, right?
Absolutely.
So goals suggest that you can control things you have no control over. You can't control. So what should you do? He suggests building feedback loops, setting up a system to look at the things that really matter. And how are you doing? How's that system working? You know, that's what really matters in terms of this process or steps along the way. And final point that he makes is he says, fall in love with systems. Important point. None of this is to say that goals are useless. However, I found that goals are good for planning your progress, and systems are good for actually making progress.
And again, to go back to sales, you know, everybody wants to increase sales, but usually that's a lagging indicator. You're going to find out where your sales are at the end of a quarter.
Yep.
If you put a focus on, our team is going to do 10 extra sales calls a day, you can look back and say, we hit 85% of the time with the 10 extra calls. At the end of the quarter, I guarantee the numbers will be up.
Wow, we need to wrap up already, Tom. Thank you again for being part of the Business Builder Show. And we appreciate you taking time to be with us. Carrie and Tom, as always, thanks for your help. Couldn't do it without you. Great insights today, Tom.
Thank you.
Better than normal.
You called
always
me exciting
good.
In the beginning of the show, so I had to be exciting.
Excellent. Our guest next week was on the cover of the November 2013 issue of Inc. magazine, on the February 2014 issue of Success magazine. The topic will be social media. That's pretty impressive. Any guesses of who that might be? You folks or our audience?
Well, I have both magazines, so I already know.
Oh, you know the answer.
Yes.
Should I say the name?
Drum roll, please.
Gary Vaynerchuk will be with us. Now, if you'd like to kind of get deeper on what we talked about today, go to businessbuildersglobal.com, businessbuildersglobal.com. We do our best on the Business Builder Show, so you can do your best. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolff.